thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. What a privilege to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. You know, since I've been broadcasting on television, we've seen such an increase in the ministry. I mean, this message is really going all over the world. It's touching people's lives. People are being saved. People are being healed. We receive testimonies on a daily basis. And what's so wonderful is normally I would get SMSs when I broadcast, but these days I get them every day. It's as people are just reminded of what happened last week and they just say, man, this thing has just changed my life. They just send it in. And I want to thank every person that sends these SMSs, that sends the emails, the praise reports especially, and the people with the prayer requests. I tell you, it's a privilege for me to receive that thing and to just pray for you, to send an SMS back to say, I've prayed for you, to just stand in the faith, in the grace of God, together with you, seeing the results coming into your lives. Now, there's so many people needing jobs that just SMS says, I need a job, pray for me. And just a week later, I found a job, or my business is not doing well, pray for me. And we just speak a little bit, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes over the phone, on the grace of God concerning finances. God's obedience through Jesus Christ, or the obedience of Jesus concerning finances for your prosperity. And then people just start to, they're blessed, business is coming in, things are changing. Man, I love preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And I thank every person that's been just responding and watching this program, telling your friends, people just ordering CDs and stuff. We're sending a couple of hundred CDs every month. It's awesome to see this and how the ministry is growing by God's grace. Amen. You know, as I've been preaching the gospel down in Belito, and we also were down in Scottsbury, we really saw the power of God. We saw one miracle upon another miracle upon another miracle. We've also been to Marnes Nels Church. We've ministered the gospel there. And we just saw such an awesome presence of God, touching the lives of people, changing their minds, bringing just newness and confirmation, as Marnes also is a preacher of grace, and into that church and into the visitors' lives. When people just testify and say, this has just changed my life. People sending SMSs and say, this is mind-blowing. I cannot listen to too much of this. It's just too much for me. I don't know how to get all of it in. And I'm not testifying about myself. I'm testifying about the message of God's grace. And as I've been preaching, we were seeing the miracles. And at the end of this broadcast, you can just see one or two miracles of what happened down in Belito in Scottsboro. Man, it was so good to know and to come to this realization that there's nothing else but the message of grace. There's nothing else. Just before this, before I came into the studio to preach this message, I spoke to somebody and he said, no, he's been into all types of teachings. He's been into the inclusion theory. He's been into rapture. He's been into kingdom. He's been into everything. But he says the thing that brings that there's an answer to every question, that you don't come to one scripture and you say, yes, but what about this? And you can't explain, is the message of grace. And with that as a foundation, I want to just read a scripture that I read in the previous broadcast, but I want to read it again because it is so awesome. It says in verse 6, Colossians 4 verse 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Why? That you may know how you ought to answer every man. Hallelujah. The grace of God is the answer to every man. And what's so nice about this is it says, let your speech always be with grace. So whenever you put the television on and you watch The Love Way, I want to guarantee you this. It will always be grace. Always. There will not one day be one word of condemnation because it's not the message of God. The message of God punishing you, the message of this whole desert thing and all of that is not grace. It's not grace. It is your works and your efforts. It's not grace. And you will not hear it on The Love Way. On The Love Way, you will hear a message of dignity, worth. A message that says that you are seated with Christ. A message that makes you feel that God loves you. You are worth something. You know, we should not have a life where we feel so worthless that we need to start to do stuff, try to obey scriptures and things to get our worth out of that. Your worth is not supposed to come out of your obedience to God. Let me say it again. Your worth, the worth you feel in your heart, is not supposed to come out of your obedience to God. I want to say it again. It must really sink in. Your worth, the way you feel about yourself, should not be linked to your obedience to God. But your worth, the way you feel about yourself, is supposed to be 100% all the time, day and night, 24/7, linked to the obedience Jesus had to the Father. Amen. So many times when we obey, we feel, oh yeah, I'm a child of God because I got this right, you know, I feel good about myself. And there is a place where you will feel good, where you see something being established and something coming into your life. But that must not be the foundation of your worth. That must be like just an emotion of joy for a time. But the foundation of your joy should be the obedience of Christ on your behalf. And that is grace. Romans chapter 5, we've said that many times. We've looked into that. Get the previous sessions. This is number 9 in this series of grace. And man, if you can get into all the others, it will just bless you so much. But the grace of God is that which brings peace into your heart. And the grace of God is that which we've discussed, the obedience of Jesus, the influence of Jesus in your life. That's the grace of God. Now, let your words always be full of what Jesus has done on your behalf. Now, if you want to read a scripture and you want to interpret a scripture, the way you interpret that scripture is by asking this question. And I've had a session as well, which you can order, which is a scripture interpretation, which will really bless you. But an easy way to just summarize that whole session is this. If I see a scripture that says, I must do this, 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 and this, ask this question. How does the obedience of Jesus Christ relate to this? How did Jesus obey that scripture on my behalf so that I, through what He's done and His obedience, can enter into the promise of that scripture? Now, let me put it this way. Every scripture that you read, or most scriptures or promises, let's come to promises. A promise has got something that you must do and then a blessing. That's what a promise has. It's something you must do and then a blessing. So, if you come to a promise, you must ask this question. How did Jesus Christ obey the thing that must be obeyed, or the commandment, in order for me to be blessed through His obedience? Like Deuteronomy 28. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart and you give your whole life to what He says and you diligently obey the Lord your God, then these blessings shall come upon you. Okay, now, if you want to see grace in that scripture, ask, how did Jesus obey on my behalf in order for me to be free from my obedience, by His obedience, to receive this for free? Then you'll see grace. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, let your mouth always be full of, and I want to use my own words, what Jesus has done, His obedience on behalf of disobedient people, so that the disobedient could be blessed by the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's grace. Oh, you might say, but Bertie, that you just saying that we don't have to obey. Now, if that's what you've heard, you've just unleashed the law that's in your heart. And I don't want to condemn you. I want to speak grace to you. That way of thinking comes out of a mentality that's do's and don'ts orientated. But grace is what Jesus has done. So all that I've said is that we are blessed by the obedience of Christ. I've never said that we're not supposed to have obedience. I want to tell you, when you look into the obedience of Christ, He obeyed to the point that you could receive the righteousness of God. He obeyed to the point that you could receive the divine nature of God. So the more you look into grace, the more you will see who you are and what type of obedience you have towards God. But I want to tell you, Jesus is what had to happen to me, if I can use that language, in order to be blessed. It's not what I do towards God that blesses me. It's what Jesus has done towards me that blesses me. Isn't that awesome? And when it really starts to get good is when you start to apply that to finances. How did Jesus obey on my behalf so that I, even if I am disobedient, can receive because of His obedience if I believe? Oh, Bertie, but that's dangerous talk. I can just hear that. I can hear in the spirit just how people would think about this. Let me put it this way. Are you obedient all the time? You are not. So if you are not obedient all the time, you must come to a place where you must receive by somebody else's obedience, or you'll never have. So settle this in your heart. And this is so wonderful. And as we are designing the website, I don't have a website, but we're busy designing a website. I've got a place that I call the Word Well, where you can just dig into the Word, watch the videos of everything I've preached since I've been on television. And you can download it for free. It's just such a blessing. And when you get into the Word Well, what I said about the Word Well, it's a place of amazement. And it's exactly the way like that with grace. If you hear the grace of God, it's just a place of amazement. It's a place where you say, it's too good to be true. It means I can just be blessed. You know what? The more I realize that everything that I receive is because of the grace of God, the more relaxed I am. I just feel peace in my heart. I feel calm. I don't feel rushed to get anything to happen. It's going to be by God's grace. I'm going to just do what comes in my heart, and the grace of God is just going to bring this whole thing into manifestation. And the more I am at rest, the calmer person I am, and the less I struggle with my temper, the less I struggle with bad thoughts, the less I struggle with all these type of things that just bring so much confusion in my life or in the lives of people. It's because I am at rest. I'm at peace. You know, when somebody is really calm and at rest, it's difficult to be angry. But when somebody is tensed up and under this lot of tension and everything, he is angered quickly. But when it comes to grace, and you enter into the rest of God, man, you will find the character of God, the divine nature of God, coming up in your heart. And that is grace. And we can go and see that quickly in Colossians. I'm sorry, in 2 Peter. And I know we started out in 2 Peter, but I would just love to touch on that again. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through lust. So what does he say here? He says that we have received exceeding great and precious promises, so that by these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature. So the more we get into what we received by promise, what have we received by promise? We've received sonship. We've received the kingdom of God. We're not going to one day get the kingdom of God. We have received the kingdom of God. He has given His kingdom. His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. For you to say that that we must still get the kingdom, you must say that we haven't received righteousness, we haven't received joy, we haven't received peace in the Holy Spirit. We have not received, but we have received it. Hallelujah. Therefore, we have the kingdom of God, and we are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, the more we know about His unconditional love, the more we know about His promises, we will be partakers of the divine nature. So the more we know of grace, remember the context here in 2 Peter chapter 1 is grace. The more we know of grace, the more we are partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. So the more you know grace, the more you'll be obedient. Now, you can hear this and say, yeah, Bertie, you see, there you are saying it now. We are talking about you must be obedient. Man, just get off that legalistic mindset and just listen to me. Obedience is not something you do in order to be blessed. Obedience is something that happens to you because you are blessed and because Jesus obeyed. Amen. Don't put the cart in front of the horse. It's first the horse, first the worker. Who was the worker on our behalf? It was Jesus. And the more we see His promise that was fulfilled through Christ, the more we see what He's done for us, the more we are partakers of the divine nature or the godly nature. Man, isn't that powerful? Now let's go to Hebrews. And we just look a little bit about the kingdom of God and this whole thing about the kingdom. Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read from verse 25. It says, see that you refuse not him
that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Now, isn't that awesome? He says, in the days past, in the old covenant, when God came to the earth, when He spoke, He shook this earth. But He says, once more, He speaks from heaven. The Word of God. What is the Word of God? It's the Word of His grace. That's the Word of God. No other Word is the Word of God. You must realize that. I don't care from what type of a denomination you are. You can say, I'm from the Word of Faith, or I'm from the Word of this. There's just one Word. It's the Word of what Jesus has done on behalf of man, and that produces faith. That produces righteousness. That brings the kingdom. That brings everything. And the Word of grace is called the love of God. Let me tell you something. The love of God is not part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom exists and consists out of God's love. Without love, there will be no kingdom. Let me put it this way. Without love, there will be no kingdom. Without love, there will be no righteousness. Without love, there will be no judgment. Now, you might say, Barry, but God's got different attributes. He's got love and He's got judgment. And He condemns sin. So, love is a part of it. No, it's just because you don't understand love that you think that way. Love is something that brought judgment forth. And you might say, oh, Barry, you see, there it is. But let me explain it. God loved us so much that He judged, that He thought, I need to judge sin so that sin could be removed from man. And then He prepared a body, Jesus. And then He judged all of the sin in Jesus so that we would not receive judgment. Man, isn't that awesome? Judgment for our sins. The only judgment that there is if you have believed or not. And that judgment you decide by yourself. I mean, it's almost impossible not to take the good news. Some people say to me, Bertie, it's as if the time is ripe for the good news. No, it's not true. There's nothing like the time is ripe for the good news. If you say the time is ripe for the good news, now it means that in the past the time has not been ripe for the good news, and that God, for some superstitious, don't know what way, has kept revival away from us in the message of grace. Never think that God's only revealing grace now. He's not revealing grace now. Grace has been revealed through the writer Paul. And it's just because we've been so under a legalistic mindset that we couldn't see grace. That's all. It has been revealed all the time. And what we can do is we can just say, my God, I thank you that it has been revealed all the time. Because if you say God's only revealing it now, it means He's been hiding it for 2,000 years. And what does that say about who He is? You must remember, every doctrine you hear and every teaching you hear, out of that, in your subconscious mind, a picture is formed out of who that person is. So if you say God's been hiding this and it's only revealing it to us now, you are saying that He allowed people to suffer without revelation in the New Testament just for some funny reason. It's not true. The mystery that has been hidden, that has been in, has been revealed right now to us. Hallelujah. Nobody knows the spirit of a man except a man himself. So no one knows who is in God except the Spirit of God. So what does that mean? The Spirit of God has now revealed all things unto us, according to Corinthians chapter 2. All things has been revealed unto us. So what does that mean? That means that God loves you. In the old, He spoke and it shook the earth. But now He says He speaks from heaven. What does He say? He's speaking the word of grace.
the Word is in heaven, which is Jesus, which is grace. He speaks from heaven and He shakes heaven and earth.
I want to tell you, the message of grace will shake you. It will shake every bit of legalism that's in you, especially if you say you can be blessed besides your obedience through the obedience of Christ if you can just believe it. Man, that shakes you. It shakes the heavens because even in heaven, the angels, the Bible says, the angels desired and longed for grace to be revealed, to look into grace. Because a greater thing than heaven is the grace of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it. It's absolutely awesome. I mean, we would say in heaven, you are so content with everything, you're in need of nothing. And I do believe that in heaven, you'll be in need of nothing because grace has been revealed. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 10 that the angels waited for grace to be revealed, to look into it, because grace was revealed on earth. Hallelujah. Now, we are walking in something that's so great that angels, which are in heaven, which are in a place of no need, wanted to see. It's so great. It's greater than what they thought they had. It was something that they wanted to see. God living in man. God manifesting through man. Outside of man's obedience and man's effort. Just man becoming godly. And in the very image of God, in a moment as God comes and indwells him. Man, isn't that awesome? That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's so far removed from do's and don'ts and I must do this, then God's going to bless me, I must do that. It says that once again heaven and earth is shaken, so that all those things that are made that can be shaken can be taken away. Then it says in verse 28, now listen to this. Wherefore, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now listen to me. If you receive grace, thereby you will serve God acceptably and you will be part of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. You must remember, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Nothing can shake it. It's unshakable. It's unmovable. Your disobedience cannot shake God. Your wrongdoing and the sin you've committed cannot shake God. It's impossible. He is who He is and His kingdom is unshakable. But the moment you're under the law, you are shakable. You can now be in righteousness and now be in sin and now be in blessing and then be under a curse because of your obedience or disobedience. But when we receive grace, we become part of an unshakable kingdom. Then I am unshakable. My financial prosperity is unshakable because it's not settled in my obedience with my finances. It's settled in the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now I know that can shake some of you, but it's the truth. I will always prosper because as surely as what I, if it should happen that I would die, go to heaven, as surely as what I'm saved, as surely as what I'm healed because of the cross, with that same surety I prosper because of the cross, because I am in grace. You know the grace of God. He was rich, He became poor, so you through His poverty might be made rich. I prosper because of grace. Hallelujah. Now it says, receive grace so that you can also be unshakable. The only thing that will make you stable is grace. Amen. Now, receive the grace of God, what Jesus has done on your behalf, and then you can just experience this awesome peace and stability in peace, stability in prosperity, stability in healing, stability in every area of your life. Thank you that you've listened to this broadcast. And man, I see you in our next broadcast every Monday night at 8 o'clock on the Spirit Word Channel, South African time. Amen. God bless you.